All right, well, we'll start our post-race press conference with today's winning crew chief, Mike Bogorevich, and today's VP of competition, Greg Zipadella. Well, guys, congratulations on the victory today. Why don't you just open up, Mike, about today's performance?
Today, to say the least, is just unreal. I mean, the challenges that this particular team and the organization has been through this year has been a difficult one, to say the least. And you know what? The team never gave up. Eric never gave up. SHR never gave up. You know, every person back at the shop. You know, there's a lot of frustrated people, and but nobody gave up. You know, and it means a lot. And we go into a day like today, and you know, we're showing up thinking that, man, if we have a top five, top ten day, like we're getting better, right, and things are going the right way. And an opportunity presented itself to win the race, and it was unbelievable. But it just showed the dedication everybody has, and the ability to never give up and keep fighting. And I think we're on the right path as a whole group. We're on the right path. So, you know, it all starts with the leadership up top with Greg and everybody else, and the desire to keep hanging banners like we talk about all the time.
And Greg, congratulations on the win. You guys locked a playoff spot today. Can you talk about what that means to the team?
Yeah, I mean, to just echo what Mike said, it's about the 350 people we have at Stuart Haas and their families. There's a lot of them that don't get to come to the racetrack, obviously, and live this moment. They all work really hard to prepare cars. But, you know, like Mike said, his group has worked really hard. And honestly, I can say this without even questioning what I'm about to say, is I don't think there's anybody in the garage that works any harder than Mike does, his group on his cars. He takes everything to heart, very passionate about what he does. And you know, they've had a lot of good opportunities this year, and just things didn't happen, right? So, and from a Stuart Haas perspective, from a global perspective, it's been a tough year. I mean, what we did last year as a company, then you come back this year, it's a little bit of shocking. And then it gets everybody second guessing and all that. So, like Mike said, the first 6 months have been pretty tough. But you know, last month or two, I feel like we've made some gains in the right direction. And today we had a couple of good race cars. And even Cole was ran decent today. He was this close from being right up there with him. So that's kind of how I judge everything, is how do all four of our cars run. And they have been running a little better. So we still got a long way to go. But this certainly is a little bit of a motivating factor to Mike, his group, obviously his driver. As the year and you head into the chase, anytime you can win, a little bit of confidence is a good thing.
Okay, we'll open up for questions. Right up here in the front.
Matt Wernis with 22 News. Greg, being from New England, I know coming up here must be special each year, but to get a win here today must be big. And then, Mike, can you just talk about the pit strategy that you and Eric discussed during that last round of pit stops?
Yeah, this is here in Watkins Glen are home to me, but this place has always been special because when we raced modifieds, I was the first car to ever come here and test when the place first opened up with Mike McLaughlin. And then we came back for the very first race and won the modified 150 in the Busch North at the time, 150, in the same day. So that was how we opened up this place, and that's how it's always been to me. So obviously, this is Mike's race today, but yes, coming home, and there's usually a lot of friends and family up this way. It's fun. Mike's not from too far from here. I guess Pocono is home for you. You can't even count this, even though it's a couple hours. But anyways, it's always fun to come to New England, it's all about seafood. And then we get plenty of lobster.
Yeah, as far as the pit strategy part goes, I mean, you know, about three-quarters of the way through the race, watching our lap times and our ability to get through traffic relative to the other cars, it showed opportunity to potentially win this race. And when we did, when we drove up through and got the lead, I was in a wait and see position. Obviously, it was a little bit nerve-wracking and confusing to hear from NASCAR that we're going to give you a 10 to go you know, warning of when the race is going to end. And at the time, you're thinking, like, well, this could get ugly. Like, people start pitting and people don't pit. And, and all these thoughts are going through your head. But with that said, not knocking on them, I think once the pit cycle started, I had faith in them that they were going to let it cycle through and do the right thing on that side of things. And I think they do. I think they try and keep an equal playing field, fair playing field, and they did that. So with that said, I wasn't going to be the first one to pit road. I wanted to see what these other guys were going to do. Once they started peeling off and taking the four tires, in all honesty, it really isn't that big of a decision for me anymore. It's come down, take the four tires. I knew probably those first five laps we'd be at a little bit of a disadvantage to exactly what I saw the two car. He fired off really good and then kind of fell off on the longer run, and we had a really strong long run car. So I knew if we could maybe maintain a little bit more of a lead, we could have stayed ahead of him. He did end up getting around us, but I knew we could run him back down, and we did, and Eric did a fantastic job. But just, again, credit to a really fantastic car that SHR has brought to this track.
Zach Sterney with Front Stretch. Mike, I'm curious for you. It's been since 2018 that you've been able to get back to victory lane. What's that journey to back here been like for you, and how meaningful is this moment now that you're back?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing I always say is you never know when it's your last one, right? And don't get me wrong, back in 2018, I wondered if that would be one of my last ones. And, you know, to say the least, you cherish every one of them because you never know when that last one's coming. And with the struggles, honestly, that we've had this year and the whatever you want to call it, luck, performance, whatever it may be, various things throughout the year, this one by far is probably the most sweet. You know, Martinsville with Clint, I think we dominated as a team. And Michigan, you know, kind of stole that one away in some senses. But this one we earned, and it was through a lot of trials and tribulations. And yet this whole team and Eric and everybody at SHR never gave up.
All right, here.
Well, now that Eric's here, I'll ask this, Bob from WSMN. Given the success of the four team last year and pretty much everybody, how do you feel that you're the guy at Stuart Haas Racing this year?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm the guy. I mean, it's a team. It's a team. It's an organization. It's a team, and that's how it's built. And it feels good to win for our organization. There's 370 something employees there, that put their heart and soul into building these race cars, and so it certainly feels good to bring home a banner for them. And we have so many people that support our program, Gene Haas and Tony Stewart, obviously the owners, but Smithfield and Ford and Pit Boss and Go Bowling and Mobile One and everybody that supports it. It just feels good to deliver for them. It really does. I feel a weight on my shoulders always. Like, you know, I feel like you have to deliver for the organization, for the sponsors. People put in a lot for me to get to do what I love to do. I mean, I get to wake up every day and drive a race car. I'm living a dream. But there's a lot of people that, you know, just work their guts out, and a lot of people that put a lot of money into me getting to do that. And so I've never really viewed it as me being the guy. I feel like I'm the guy that's got to go out and try and deliver.
Yeah, Dustin Albino, JC.com. For you, Eric, you got three cup wins. Would you say this is probably the biggest one?
Man, they're all good. I've only got three, so everyone's pretty sweet. I haven't forgotten any of them. That's a good problem to have when you win enough to where you forget some of the wins. But I don't have that problem. I remember each one, and they've all been very sweet for their own right. Right, to win. You know, on the anniversary of Richard Petty's 200th win and to do it in the 43 car and to bring that car back to victory lane for the first time in like 30 years, that was a special day. And to do it at Daytona, a place that I grew up as a kid going to watch races there, you know, it's only 2 hours from home. That was a really special day, and it was my first cup win ever. And then to show up to SHR, with a lot of high hopes and a lot of expectations, to make the playoffs in 2018, and then to run as good as we did in the playoffs and have, you know, some things happen. Like, we came here and gave a win away with a car that we should have won with. We went to Dover and let one get away, and then we were able to rebound and go to Talladega and win and advance in the playoffs. That one was sweet for its own right. And then you come here, yeah, to win at a non-restrictor plate race. My wife hates the fact that I've only won at restrictor plate races. She's told me for years. Yeah, it did. She's told me for years. She's like, honey, I know that you always have a good shot when we go to Daytona or Talladega. She's like, I so badly want you to win somewhere else. And so, yeah, it feels good to be able to capitalize on fast race cars. And this year's been a struggle. But since we won the duel, we went into the Daytona 500 with really high hopes and a very fast race car and wrecked out early. And from that point forward, man, it has just been a battle. And so to battle and fight the way that we've fought, and sometimes literally fight, and to just continue to grind it out and show up to the racetrack every week with a new hope that we can go get the job done this week. And today we were able to do that.
And with how tough the year's been, have you questioned yourself at all?
Yeah, I mean, you always do. I think when you run good, it's easier, right? And you have a lot of confidence. And that's what, you know, people don't understand. People are just always like, man, you gotta keep your head up, and you gotta have confidence and all the thing. But that's based on results. I mean, you can't just fake that stuff, you know, and you can go to the racetrack with hopes, and you can go to the racetrack feeling good about it, like I did this weekend. Our 750 package has been good, especially here lately. We went to Nashville, qualified on the pole, ran the top five all day. So I knew coming here that this, you know, being one of my favorite racetracks, I was like, this is going to be an opportunity for us. We were pretty good here last year, and talking to Boga before the race, they made some changes based on last year, and I was like, man, this is an opportunity for us. And on my calendar, knowing that we had to win between now and Daytona, I had here and Daytona really marked on my calendar as these are the two places we've got opportunities to figure out how to make it in the playoffs and to win. And today, you know, coming up here, I just felt good about it. But you never know. And so we started the race, and the car was good. Not great, but it was good. And Boga just kept making adjustments. And every time down pit road, we gained spots on pit road, or we stayed even. Our pit crew did a phenomenal job. And every time the adjustments made the car a little bit better, a little bit better. And then finally, that last adjustment he made for those last two runs, the car was just lights out. I knew that if I could keep pace with him for a few laps, I would have him on the long run. And we were able to do that.
Out of respect for Mike and Greg's time, does anybody have any more questions for either gentleman?
Hi, Tara Duffy with Wicked Yankee TV. This is a huge psychological win. I have two questions. First, how does this motivate your whole team going forward? Like you said, it's a huge organization that you guys are with. And second, what are your plans for the lobster?
So is the first question for Greg or Boga, since they're the organization guys? Yeah.
It's a big thing.
I'll let you take that.
Yeah, obviously, anytime you win in this sport, it's a big thing. And you know, they both commented, and I did earlier on the struggle that we've had this year, and you know, to be able to have an off weekend, and for everybody that touched this race car back at SHR, I hope they just enjoy it, and it motivates them just a little bit more to get us through the rest of the year.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think, like Greg said, and I said it earlier in when I sat down in here, I mean, this is an organization. It's not about just me winning the race today. I mean, there's so many people that it takes to get me to the racetrack to be able to drive the race car. And it's, you know, Boga and I obviously get a lot of the credit as him being the head of the team as the crew chief and me being the driver. But there's so many people back at the shop that it takes to build the cars. And honestly, we've worked so hard this year, not only because we've been behind and trying to play catch up, but because we've wrecked a lot of race cars. I mean, I've had more DNFs this year in my career this year than I have like combined in my entire career. It's been an awful year for bringing home wrecked race cars, and it's really challenging when you do that on the organization. They're constantly trying to rebuild race cars. So this feels so sweet to be able to do that for all those men and women back at the shop, as much as it does for our team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't say anything more than what these guys have said. It's a win for 308 people, every single one of them. Eric, Greg, everybody. You know, I can't do it alone. It takes the travel person, it takes the secretaries, it takes every single employee. And then beyond that 308, it's every family back at home. You know, I think about my wife and my kids and how much time I'm away from them. And it's hard. So they stuck behind me and everybody else did. And, you know, this is what it's all about.
Mike and Greg, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you.
We'll go to Dan.
Thank you.
Dan Gelson, Associated Press. Eric, how well could you see there at the end? Do you think the right call was made to
win? Yeah, well,
even though you won, do you think the right call was made to win it?
Yeah, I do. Until the 21 pitted, I could see perfectly, and then as soon as the 21 pitted, it got really dark really quick. No, I felt good about it. We could see plenty good, and then it really did start getting dark quickly. But I felt good about my race car. I felt like if it went the distance, we had a good enough car to win. I paced myself there, knowing that we had a good car and that we had a big enough lead. And when the 20 got by the 2, I was like, all right, well, I had a 1.8 second lead, and I was still pacing myself, trying to not run the tires off of it. It got down to about 1.2, 1 second, and then I was like, all right, I should probably get going here. And when I took off to get going again, it was about the time I got kind of hung up behind the 3 car. And the 20 closed in quite a bit in those few laps I got hung behind Austin. But once I was able to clear Austin, I started putting some good laps back together, and I was beating the 20 car about a tenth and a half a lap. So I felt really good about it.
And can you pin SHR struggles on – is it just one thing, or
it's not one thing? Yeah. If it was, and I can't pin it on anything, because if I could, we would fix it immediately. You know, it has eluded us, and you know, we just have not been as good, especially with the 550 package, as we need to be. And it's not from lack of effort. It's not from lack of, you know, just want to. It's just we're scratching our heads. We can't figure out the race cars we need to bring to the racetrack, and it's been very challenging. But the one thing I do know is that our 750 package has been really good, especially here the last couple months. So you know, I felt good about today, and we were able to have a fast race car, and we were able to get it done and win. And then, you know, going into the playoffs, I will view the 750 racetracks as our strengths. And, you know, to start the playoffs, I think it's Bristol and Richmond in there to start, and Darlington, all of which are 750 racetracks. So I feel like those are good opportunities for us.
Zach Sterniola with Front Stretch. Eric, two questions. Well, first of all, you talked about the SHR struggles and that it hasn't been just one thing. What was it that worked today? Because you and Kevin, I mean, really, Fords in general had really strong performances, but you and Kevin particularly as well. What clicked today for SHR?
I think just our 750 package has been good, like I said, and this racetrack has been one of our best racetracks. I feel like as an organization, we've always run really well up here. And for me in particular, it's been one of my favorite and best racetracks. I think when I come here, I feel good about it. I know what I need out of the race car. I know what to ask for adjustments in the race car. And so I'm able to help lead that a little bit better here than I am at other places. And I think coming here was just everything kind of lined up perfectly. And we had a fast race car. And finally, we capitalized on that. You know, I've had fast race cars here and other places too. And we've had, you know, bad pit stops, loose wheels, late race cautions, and just a lot of different things happen that we've let it slip away. And today, you know, we were able to capitalize and get the job done.
That's it.
Go ahead.
That said, you've had strong runs at other racetracks before. What was it about today's car or strategy that allowed you guys to execute really all the way through and capitalize on the laps led?
Just unloading with a fast race car, you know, taking off right from the get-go and early in the race and knowing that we have a fast race car and kind of marching our way through the field. I think we started 22nd So kind of steadily marching our way through the field, making adjustments every pit stop, and every adjustment we made, it made the car better. With the exception of one, early in the race we made one adjustment, it wasn't very good. We went immediately back on that and started making some other adjustments, and we were getting the car faster and faster and faster. So Kevin Harvick always says that you can't drive a slow car fast, and the guys just brought me a great race car, and we weren't making wholesale changes on it, so we were allowing our pit crew to do their job. So they were ripping off some fast pit stops, so we were gaining spots on pit road. The adjustments were making the car better, and we just consistently worked our way towards the front of the field.
Go to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. It seems that recently it's kind of been year to year for both you and Smithfield. So what can a win do for what?
Really, Bob? Yeah, bring that into. We're sitting here all happy talking about all this, and you want to bring in contract stuff.
Well,
this guy.
But what does it? I mean, what can this do for that? I mean, people be like, oh.
It makes people happy, right? And it shows the delivery. I talked about it earlier when I sat in here. That's the only way I really know how to deliver, besides the fact that we do a lot of, B2B stuff and a lot of the, stuff that Smithfield does with the race program, selling into a lot of the retailers. There's a lot of stuff off the track that helps make all of this work. But the real goal is always to put Smithfield and the company and everybody out in front of the spotlight. I mean, that's why they put stickers on a race car, is to be on national television and to put them out in the spotlight. So the best way to do that is to win. And, we've done that a few times. But every year it feels good to be able to deliver. And that's the best way I know how to say thank you for everything that they've done for me in my career. I wouldn't have a job and I wouldn't be driving a race car right now if Smithfield Foods has not supported me for the last 10 years. It has been a phenomenal relationship, and I owe them the world. And unfortunately, I can't give them the world, but I can give them a race win every once in a while. And today we were able to do that. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that would have been devastating. Ever since I got to SHR, I've made the playoffs every year. And this year, it didn't look so good. It didn't look like that was going to be a possibility unless we won. That feels good. And they are a great sponsor, not only for us, but for the sport. I mean, they've been in the sport for 10 years now, but they're one of very few sponsors that take a majority of the car. So that is a huge deal, not only for us as a race team, but for the sport and the fact that they have that continuity with the fans. People see the 10 car and they know that that's the bacon car, right? And that's the Smithfield car. So to continue to have success for them and put them in the limelight, win races, be in the playoffs, that's what they deserve.
Matt Werns with 22 News. Eric, I wanted to ask you, I asked Hamlin this morning about practice and qualifying, not having it here this weekend. He said track position was going to be key today, especially with no PJ1, and that it was going to be cold and not a lot of rubber. Did it hurt not having practice and qualifying here this weekend?
Not really. I mean, I think the race still played out. We came from 22nd, so we had a really fast race car, and we were able to, pass cars. I think we were one of a few cars that could actually pass throughout the run. I could barely hold my own for the first 10 laps, and then after lap 12 to 15, we would just start marching through the field. I felt like the track was very racy. I kind of liked it without the PJ1. Obviously, I won, so I'm biased, but I really did. I thought it was racy. I thought the grip really went away. It really caused you to have to drive the race car as more car control, and you didn't feel stuck. Like, when you caught somebody, you could move around and pass them, where when we had the PJ1, you had to work twice, if not three times as hard to get by somebody, because the PJ1, even if their car was not handling, it was the preferred groove, and you couldn't get by them. So now, I felt like it was a lot more available for options to move around the racetrack without the PJ1 sprayed. The car was a lot more skatey and up on top of the racetrack, and drive off like we typically have always had here at Loudon was a premium. So managing your tires at the beginning of a run and not roasting them on drive off was paying dividends on the long run, where you know, when we come here with the PJ1, you can just floor it, and the car's stuck in the PJ1.
Go back to Jim.
Jim Hunter, motorsport.com. A couple things. First, on the NASCAR's decision to do the 10 to go at some point, as a driver, what was that like? I know I heard you on one point once the 21 situation got cleared up, you were like, okay, I'm ready for 10 to go.
Yeah.
But without knowing like when or even if that's going to come, how was that driving like that at the end of the race?
I was really just focusing on one lap at a time, just putting laps together, taking care of my tires, but still running as fast as I needed to go. When we pitted there, the two short pitted us a little bit. So when we came out, we were on, you know, newer tires, and I wasn't taking off as good, and I knew I needed to take care of my tires to be good on the long run like I was that previous run. And the two wasn't nearly as good on the long run. He was really fast for a short run. So he caught me, and I kind of just let him go and manage my stuff. And about seven or eight laps later, I was able to drive back by him. And at that point, I knew we had the race, you know, we had the race kind of in control, and we had the best car, and that we were going to win, barring anything crazy happen. And so at that point, yeah, I was ready to either race it to the end, or I was waiting for him to tell us when it was 10 to go. But at the same time, having the 21 stay out there, there was some anxiety involved with that. Like, man, I hope NASCAR doesn't think it's too dark yet while he's still out there. And we were running them down really, really fast. Once we closed in within a couple of seconds, they peeled off the pit. And at that point, I knew we were in control of the race.
And the way you won today, having one of the best cars, also your teammate Kevin Harvick led more laps today than he's had the whole season. You've probably heard this question a lot, but does it feel like maybe you guys are turning the corner at the right time?
I would hope so. I mean, we've had seasons where we've dominated the regular season as an organization, and we've went into the playoffs, and it seems like everybody got better and elevated and caught up. And we've, you know, we've not always been the best in those years when it counted the most. It's sports, right? And it's always about being the best when it matters the most. And we were able to come away with a clutch win today to propel us into the playoffs. And it does feel good to see the progress that we're making as an organization, getting our cars better and better. And, yeah, we want to be peaking at the right time going into these playoffs.
And last few for Eric.
Mark Arrow with PRN. I'm a little late to this. I had to jump on another show. We were so late after this race. So this may have been asked, and I apologize if it did. There's not a bookie on the planet that gave you a chance. If you asked anybody in the grandstands, only the guys wearing the Eric Almirola shirts would have said you could have won the race today. So what does it feel like to score that kind of a race win when almost nobody thought you could?
Yeah, I'll answer that very honestly. Nobody should have thought that we were going to win. Only our race team is the people that should have thought that or believe that. I mean, based on our performance, especially this year on the majority of the racetracks, we haven't been a contender to win. Nashville, we ran up front, but we still weren't as good as a few of the cars that were better than us, but we were a contender. Coming into this race, we never really gave anybody a reason to pick us, to be completely honest. And I know that. So it feels good to be the underdog and kind of come out of nowhere and have a race car like we did, and kind of, you know, put it to them at the end of the race and go off, drive off and go win this race.
On the flip side of that, a lot of time upset wins have weird quirks in them. This win for you, you went out and you took on some of the best.
Yeah.
Keselowski, Blaney, Harvick. You took on the best and won. So on the flip side, yeah, you're an upset win, but you got to be really satisfied to take on the big dogs and put them down.
I am. I am really satisfied with the way it turned out today. We went up against the best of the best, and I was really proud of the last couple restarts that I had, being able to hold off the 9, the 5, and those guys that were really fast on the short runs. We were better than everybody on the long run, but I would give up too much time in the first 10 to 12 laps, and I knew if we could get far enough up front to where I could just hold my own for 10 laps, we would have a shot to go drive to the front and take the lead. And finally, those last couple restarts, I executed and did everything I needed to do right. I was able to hold off the guys I needed to, was still managing my tires, and then my race car just kept getting better and better on the long run while all those guys were falling off. So that felt good. That felt good to win it legitimately and just have the right, you know, have the right adjustments in the race car to, honestly, at the last 100 laps or so, really dominate the race.
My final question, how hard was it to see at the end? And just what were you feeling when you hit the granite strip there?
Yeah, it honestly wasn't that bad. I mean, there was enough light to keep racing. And when I did my burnout, when I did my interview on the front straightaway, I could look up there and see everybody's face in the grandstands and stuff. So it was definitely, I guess, dusk, but it wasn't dark.
All right, any last questions for Eric?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Congratulations on the victory. And congratulations on securing your space in the NASCAR playoffs.